Our scripture passage this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter, and it takes place on the very first evening of Easter. John writes, "When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came and he stood amongst his disciples and he said, 'Peace be with you.' Now after Jesus said this, he showed his disciples his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you.' And when he had said this, Jesus breathed onto them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. We pray with you. Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are a potter, and we are your clay. Amen. Well, on Easter Sunday, 2019, over 100,000 people crammed into St. Peter's Square to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This past year, well, Pope Francis preached to an empty cathedral. 2019, hundreds of children gathered on the lawn of the White House on Easter Monday to take part in the annual Easter egg and roll events. This year, well, the event was canceled. In 2019, over 700 people filled the pews of Pinehurst United Methodist Church as we celebrated Easter together. And this year, well, I stood up on the back of a Chevy Silverado and I preached to a bunch of Camrys. Yes, this has been a very different kind of Easter, to be sure. After all, this is the time of year when we are accustomed to gathering as a community of faith, so that, in fact, we can celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The truth is, right now, we are all still separated. National travel restrictions, social distancing requirements, stay-at-home orders, they've left us all feeling very confined. And that's why we're beginning a new sermon series here at Pinehurst United Methodist that we are calling Easter in Captivity. It's a sermon series where we are going to ask the question, what does it mean to be an Easter people during this very unique time of social limitation? After all, you can still experience the hope we have in Easter even when you find yourself trapped behind locked doors. Look again in our scripture passage this morning, and you'll see that, in fact, we are not the first people to have worshipped on Easter at home. You see, John tells us on that very first Easter evening, the disciples were gathered together in one place, away from the crowds of Jerusalem. Evidently, the disciples had self-quarantined. They had socially distanced themselves. They had made the decision that they were not going to be near anyone or anything. So they found a forgotten home, and they went to an upper room, and there in that upper room, they locked the doors from the inside. Now notice, that is the very first image John gives us of the disciples on Easter Sunday. It is the image of a locked door. Growing up, my mother had a rule for our home, where she told my sister and I that we were not allowed under any circumstance to lock the door to our rooms. Now, my mom said this was a fire safety issue, but I know the truth. The truth is that she did not trust a teenager behind a locked door. And for good reason. A locked door, it's a sign of concealment. A locked door, it is a sign of fear. The disciples, they hid behind a locked door on that very first Easter Sunday. But why? Why were the disciples in captivity that first Easter? Well, why weren't they out in the streets of Jerusalem teaching and preaching and announcing the good news of Jesus' resurrection? After all, Peter and John, they had already seen Jesus was raised from the dead. And Mary Magdalene, she had experienced him as well. So why were the rest of the disciples trapped inside on that day? You know, just in the moment when Jesus needed his followers the most, that's the moment when they seemed to close the door on him. They locked the door on the inside. They gave up on him. They gave up on God. They gave up on themselves. It can happen to a person. Sometimes people just give up on faith. Maybe you remember the story of Amy Dillard, the great American author who grew up in the Rust Belt of Pittsburgh during the 1950s and 60s. Now, Amy spent most of her youth at the Carnegie branch of the Pittsburgh Public Library. Now, her parents had a nominal Christian faith. They had a church they would attend from time to time, but no one in her family was overly religious. So really, it came as little surprise to anyone. Now, when she announced at the age of 15 that she no longer believed in God, she no longer wanted to be part of a church. In fact, in her biography, Amy wrote that she sent a letter to her aged pastor requesting a meeting. And when she arrived for the meeting, she sat down in his office and she began by saying to her pastor that she no longer believed in God. She no longer believed in the church. She wanted her name off the membership roll. Pastor paused. He said, are you sure? I mean, you're mighty young to give up on faith. And he said, yes. And she said, I no longer believe in God. I no longer believe in the church. I want my name off the rolls. Sometimes people close the door on faith. The disciples, they shut the door to that upper room. They locked it from the inside. They tried to keep God out. No one was getting into that upper room. They had given up on God. They had given up on themselves. And suddenly, the scripture says, Jesus showed up. And he passed through that locked door. And he came and he stood amongst his disciples. And he said, peace be with you. And he breathed upon them the Holy Spirit. And he forgave them. Now notice, in this moment, Jesus did not criticize or chastise his disciples for their lack of faith. Jesus didn't show up and turn to his disciples and say to them, now tell me, where were you last Friday? Where were you when I needed you? Said Jesus came and showed his disciples his hand and his side and commissioned them for a noble and holy calling. As the Father has sent me, so now I send you. You know, often in the church, we love to talk about faith. And we talk about the faith we have in God. We believe that God can raise the dead. We believe that God can heal any wound. We believe God can restore brokenness. We have faith God can do those things. But maybe this morning we need to take a moment and just to look at and wonder at all the faith God seems to have in us. Because the disciples, they gave up on God, but God did not give up on them. They lost faith in God, but God did not lose faith in them. Jesus passed through those locked doors. And he commissioned them to continue in the reconciling work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we give up on God, but for some reason, God just won't give up on us. Not too long ago, I was listening to a sermon by a pastor who was preaching on the 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel. The 15th chapter of Luke's Gospel, that's the part of the Bible where Luke talks about the shepherd looking for the lost sheep. The woman seeking the lost coin. The father who waited patiently for his prodigal son. Now, the title of his sermon was called The Most Important Word in the Bible. Now, let me ask you, What do you think the most important word in the Bible is? Is it love, grace, Jesus, God? Well, according to this pastor, the most important word in the Bible is the word until. See, the pastor said, the scripture tells us that the shepherd, he will search for that lost sheep until it is found. And the woman, she will seek the lost coin until it is discovered again. And the father, he will wait patiently for that lost child until one day he returns home again. Oh yes, you may give up on God, the pastor said. God refuses to give up on you. As Jesus, he passed through the locked doors of his disciples' hearts. He showed up in their midst. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit. That's what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate the persistence of God, the God who seeks and searches and waits and finds. Till one day, we are all home again. You know, in her biography, Annie Dillard said, after she quit her church, she stood up and she shook the hand of her pastor. And she turned to leave, and as she reached for the door of his office, she heard her pastor mutter something under his breath. He said, well, you'll be back. Just then she spun around. She said, excuse me, what did you say? I said, nothing. Something just tells me that one day, you're going to come back again. Shepherd. He searches for the sheep until it is found. And the woman seeks a lost coin until she discovers it. And the father, well, he will wait patiently for that lost son until he shows up again. Don't lose faith in yourself, because God has not lost faith in you. God seeks. God searches. God will wait until one day we are all brought home again. Thanks be to God. And amen.